If you can save that pound and not give up comfort and still be on a budget gear list, that yeah, think about that. So if you're at or over 5 pounds, I'd maybe think about those decisions. Welcome to the Hunt Backcountry Podcast, presented by Exo Mountain Gear. This podcast and the gear that we produce at Exo Mountain Gear share the same purpose: to make you a more capable, confident, and successful backcountry hunter. This show is all about providing you with valuable information from experienced hunters. To learn more about the podcast or about our backcountry hunting packs, visit exomountaingear.com. Well, welcome to episode 160. Before we go any further, I gotta say that I have dropped the ball. In the last several episodes, I haven't been good about drawing winners or giving you guys feedback for the feedback you leave us. So we typically like to take some feedback we receive by email or pull some reviews from iTunes, something like that, and send you guys some Exo Mountain Gear and Hunt Backcountry swag. And I've dropped the ball on doing that. So to make up for it, I went ahead and picked 5 of you guys to say thank you. So Brad Sapp, Rob Hall, Jose from Oregon, Dennis Rackers, and Blake Suter. Send me your shipping information by email to podcast@exomountaingear.com, and I want to send you guys some goodies. Listeners, we do appreciate the feedback, whether you send us an email directly, reviews in iTunes, or wherever else you might be listening to this. That all helps us tremendously. So thank you guys sincerely for doing that. Okay, in this episode, it's just Steve and I, and we're talking about a budget gear list. And so it comes up a lot with us in terms of what gear to buy and how to, you know, use a budget, and man, stuff's so expensive, and all that is true. But there is a way that you can get into backcountry hunting, that you can get into backpack hunting and not have to spend a fortune to do it. And so Steve and I kind of set this goal of, let's take a guy who's probably hunted before. Maybe he lives in the Midwest or out east, or, you know, maybe he's hunted out west but hasn't done like a backpack style hunt. And let's look at the gear that he needs to get outfitted for a backpack style hunt, and let's try and do that on a budget. And so we put everything together in terms of like sleep system, including shelter, sleeping bag, sleeping pad, stove. We looked at footwear. We didn't talk packs simply because we would be biased in that regard, but as you'll hear in this episode, we basically gave ourselves a budget, gave ourselves a list of items. Steve and I separately went shopping online to see how we would purchase these items, how that budget would work, how the weights would work out, and then we came together, Steve and I, to discuss this on this episode. So that's what this episode's all about. If you guys want to see the list, the deals change, things like that. You might not see the exact prices we found, because obviously sales and things of that regard, but you can just head over to exomountaingear.com, hit the blog, and then you can see the list that Steve and I each put together and the items we included that we discuss in this episode. All right, let's get to it. Let's dive into that discussion. As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Have any feedback, let us know. Hope you enjoy this one. Steve, how's it going?
Fantastic. It's a beautiful Thursday here in Boise, Idaho.
So this is an episode we haven't done, just a you and I episode beyond a Monday minute in quite a while. This is cool.
Yeah, I like it.
We had this idea. We were talking several weeks ago just about, you know, different items and questions we get a lot from guys. One of the questions is, obviously we get a lot of gear questions, but then one of the questions is, well, how do you do it on a budget? And so you and I were kind of talking back and forth about this idea of, let's maybe take a guy who already hunts, so he has a weapon, you know, he's going to have some level of clothing and some level of general hunting gear, but maybe he's never done the backcountry hunt. And so he needs to, you know, kind of get outfitted with more of the backpacking type gear, not so much the hunting specific gear. And then we were talking about that, and then we were talking about how to do that cheap, relatively cheap. And I think we kind of threw out this ballpark of, what if we picked all, you know, this item, this item, this item, this item, gave ourselves a price point to hit in terms of budget, what would you and I pick? And the interesting thing about this one is it can change day to day based off of what sale you find or things like that. But nonetheless, I think it'll make a fun discussion on let's take some, you know, some of the backpacking type gear to get a guy outfitted. And then let's kind of see what we would pick if we were shopping with a budget. So, Steve, why don't you kind of talk about what items we're going to be talking about categorically. And then we'll get into more of the specifics on what, you know, you found when you looked and I found when I looked and the weight and the price, and we'll get into all that. But what are the items we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, let's see, you got eight kind of, well, we actually threw boots in there because, you know, if you're a whitetail hunter, you may not have like a high quality, like hiking boot. Maybe it's a, you know, a rubber boot or something like that, something yeah. different. So basically I have eight categories. Which are just your essential, like you have to have these to go backpacking, which is really simply a shelter, a sleeping bag, a sleeping pad, a stove, a way to filter water. I guess we threw a headlamp in there. Someone might already own a headlamp. There's a good chance of that. And then boots. Other than that, you know, there's other things that, you know, you could or could not pack, but those are kind of the base items for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, clearly there's other little things that'll end up in your pack on a backpacking trip. But these are the big ticket items typically. There's also a lot of the items that can kind of make or break your list from a weight perspective. And then beyond that, a lot of your weight's going to come from how many extras do you put in the pack. But so yeah, we wanted to break down these numbers. I kind of looked at it and I thought if you go super cheap on any of these particular gear items, and so you go cheap on all of them, and I'm talking pretty dirt cheap, not like scary quality dirt cheap, but you found a really good deal. Maybe even you bought some quality gear used. Total, you're going to end up spending about $500 at least. And then if you went kind of budget-ish, but more high dollar on all these items across the board, you're going to end up spending closer to $1,000. So between $500 and $1,000, so we kind of set out with the target of how do we spend $750? Kind of like it's still budget, but you're not going dirt cheap on every item. You're not spending, you know, premium by any means on any item. So I think for $750, you can get these items and be ready to go from like, say, a whitetail hunt to a backcountry or backpack hunt. So yeah, let's just start at the top. Steve, for shelter, what did you pick? What does it weigh? What does it cost? Tell me about why you picked it.
Yeah, so there's two different ways to look at this. Basically you have your standard kind of tent companies that you would see at REI. You know, a North Face, a Marmot, you know, things along those lines. And then there's a lot of these smaller companies, that are producing some really good stuff, that aren't your big retail companies. And so you get a chance to get a really good product, but they're not selling through, retailers. So there's less markup on the product. So it's a win-win for the customer. They get a really good product at a better price. Two companies that come to mind, Tarp Tent is one. I've used some of their products in the past. They make some great stuff. And then Six Moon Designs is another one. I've never actually used any of their tents. I have probably know a dozen friends that use this. The one I chose was Six Moons Designs Lunar Solo. Nobody thinks it's the best tent in the world, but it's a good price. It's a good weight. And I think it's a, you know, it performs really, really well. So their Lunar Solo weighs 28 ounces, jumped on their website. I think just regular full price, you can get it for $200. You do have to have a trekking pole with that. I guess we should add that to this list because that kind of is essential for a backcountry hunt. So, so it's 28 ounces, $200. Awesome, lightweight, great quality tent option.
So I gave myself, because I was seeing that tent option, and there's other options out there. They're going to be light and relatively cheap. A lot of them are going to be trekking pole supported. Quite a few of them might be floorless. And I know that both of those options are definitely, I don't want to say standard, but almost standard these days. But I was kind of thinking this of the guy who's new to this and maybe is overwhelmed by that idea and just wants a traditional tent, meaning, you know, body, fly, double wall, tent poles, mm-hmm. the whole deal. And so I kind of gave myself that standard of, okay, let's pick the opposite of what you just said, Steve, and let's go with a guy who maybe wants to or needs to shop at REI or shop from one of the big kind of, you know, well-known brands and wants a traditional tent. And so one of the better deals I found, and we can talk about this stretched my budget a little bit, but I found a Nemo Hornet, a two-person backpacking tent. It weighs, with stakes and everything, right about 33 ounces, so right basically at 2 pounds. I found it on sale for $240. It's regularly, I think, upper threes or something like that. So again, I picked this one because it's traditional tents. I also picked it because it is relatively light at that sale price. I think it's a really good price for what it is. And then I actually do have firsthand experience with it, so I've used it quite a bit. So I personally know that this is a solid option or has been a solid option for me. I will say, just in general, like most quote unquote two-person backpacking tents, you better be awfully freaking comfortable getting cozy with somebody if you want to put two people in it. So I've used this as a two-person tent with my kids. I use it a lot as a one-person tent, and it works out great for that if you want to bring gear kind of inside the tent with you. This tent does have double entry and double vestibules, which is nice. You definitely can fit two people in there, but you're literally sleeping pad to sleeping pad, wall to wall, basically no room to do anything but lay there and sleep. And that's just standard on lightweight backpacking tents. Just a general thought on those as well. If you are looking at a lightweight tent, more traditional style tents, and especially if you are going to go like with a two-man tent for two guys and maybe split that, I would be cautious, especially if you're newer to this, about going with a front entry versus a side entry. Especially if that front entry is your only vestibule as well, just because the logistics of getting people in and out of the tent and gear in and out of the tent on a front entry tent is something to consider. So if you're just new to this in general, I would throw that out there as something you might want to avoid. But in general, as you see, Steve, your shelter is a little under 2 pounds. Mine's right over 2 pounds. Yours is $200. Mine's 240. So definitely a part of the system where you're going to spend some of your money for sure. You can go lighter. I've used, what's that thing? A Mountain Smith Mountain Shelter LT, which is a floorless pole supported tent for, like, I think you find it quite regularly at $100 or under. There's definitely cheaper options out there. But if you spend 200-ish, I think you can get a pretty solid setup that's going to be more than, I'm going to use this tent this year and then basically know I'm going to upgrade. Like, you can actually spend a little bit of money and it's going to be something that'll last you for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of these items, your list is not much different than mine. These are good items that are going to last you quite a few years. This isn't like a just get something so cheap you can just do one hunt and move on to the next thing that's going to fall apart on you. These are all really good choices. You know, they're just going to be maybe slightly heavier, maybe slightly less performance, but at the end of the day, you're going to be just fine with them.
Yeah, cool. So shelter, obviously a big one. Moving on from that, relating to sleeping system is sleeping bag. So walk us through your choice, Steve.
Same deal as the tent. Chose like these kind of cottage companies, doing quilts. Basically, you're going to get a really high quality product for a lot less than if you went to REI to get something of similar quality and weight and features. Again, for me, you know, you chose sleeping bag, I chose just a quilt. I do think 95% of guys are going to love a quilt once they get used to it. You know, one in 20-ish or whatever decides that they don't like it, or I don't think they used it right, or they had a sleeping pad that wasn't insulated. But hammock gear, katabatic gear, and Enlighten Equipment are three companies that come to mind pretty quick. All make great products, just slightly different price points, slightly different features, down quality, stuff like that. Hammock gear is on the cheaper side of that, and they have actually some economy quilts. I didn't even know they had these until I jumped on their website and started looking at it, but they have essentially a burrow quilt, which I own one, and they make a 30 degree version, and price comes in at $169. I think it's 800 fill down, Really, really freaking good price and deal for you know, a high quality quilt that weighs, and it weighs 22 ounces. So hard to beat that.
And that was that the regular price, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's just regular price, $169.
That's a really good example of a smaller company selling direct to consumer, not going to retail and just offering a really good everyday price, because that's a solid quilt at that price.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised. I thought I was going to have to spend $250, and I was like, holy cow,
yeah,
that's a screaming deal. I was looking on like Enlighten Equipment, seeing if they had any. I know they have like a bargain bin section of, you know, seconds, right, or returns or something like that. And you know, that's obviously a great, great strategy to use. I think you could, I'd be able, you know, if it's January and you know you're doing this hunt in September, and so you've got 8 months to build up your gear, man, I'd pay attention to, you know, sales, check bargain bins, take advantage of, if there's one item at REI that you need, wait until they have their 20% off coupon. I mean, you could definitely squeeze a lot of pennies out of this if you needed to.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm with you, Steve. I'm a quilt guy. I'm converted. I'm part of the quilt cult, if you will, now. But I gave myself the restriction of, again, just going with the traditional sleeping bag, again, for the guy who's maybe freaked out by the idea of a quilt, just like he is by the idea of a floorless or, you know, the pole supported shelter. And he's like, I just want a regular tent and a regular sleeping bag. So I chose a Sierra Designs sleeping bag. It's one of their dry down sleeping bags. So it's down, but it's water treated down. It was their Zissou 20 degree bag. So should be great for, you know, most seasons that most guys would encounter at 20 degrees. I found it for $156, which is a pretty good deal. The main striking difference, and you can see this line to line if you look at our items, Steve, is this thing weighs quite a bit more, like a pound more than your quilt. And so I think I'm pretty sure the fill in this one is 650. It's obviously a full sleeping bag, not a quilt. So between those two, that's where a lot of the weight difference is coming from. But yeah, so just again, just to throw out basic stuff, 650 fill. The lower your fill number is in terms of fill quality, so you mentioned 800 earlier, Steve. Basically, it's just higher performing down at 800 than it is at 650. So it's going to take more, physically, it's going to take more insulation to provide the same warmth at 650. 800, because it performs better, there can be less of it, but it's more higher performing, therefore that's a lower weight. So that's just kind of a basic high view it down. That's something you guys can consider when you're looking at sleeping bags. So yeah, again, if you spend, say, somewhere between 125, if you find a smoking deal or a deal on a used option, up to that 200 to, you know, a little over $200 range, if that's where you want to spend your money, or that middle of the road, you spent a, you know, 170, Steve, I'm at 156. You know, that's essentially where you're at with a sleeping bag, or a quilt. And so those are going to be the shelter and the sleeping bag are going to be, you know, some of the higher dollar items in this list for sure. The last part of the sleeping system that you absolutely need is a sleeping pad. What's your choice there, Steve?
It's funny, yeah, we both ended up on the same one. I think there's a, I think a pad you could, there's probably, I feel like I've used and slept on and tested pretty much every single legit option out there. And there's quite a few good ones and only a few I would consider great. Again, this would be one I would just, like, if you find one that you like, you know, eventually there's going to be some closeout on it or some new model and you could probably get a screaming deal. When I went through, like, the top five pads I've used in the last few years, I was just checking to see what was on sale, and the Nemo Tensor insulated was one that popped up. It's good quality. I hate the valve on it. It's a pain in the butt to inflate and deflate, but it you know, it's good quality. It's going to last you quite a few years. It's not just dirt cheap or it's going to fall apart after a hunt. So basically, it was on sale for $100, I think. I don't know if it was closeout or what, I can't remember. And the great thing about that pad is it only weighs 15 ounces. So super light. I've slept on it. I know that it has a good R value to it. Not as good as like the Sea to Summit pad that I've been using, but still pretty dang good. Definitely going to keep you warm in that quilt. And yeah, $100. I mean, it's not not bad. I know you can get cheaper than that, but I just, a pad is obviously pretty critical. You don't want that thing popping or leaking air on you, because that could, you know, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, that's going to be not make your 5-day backcountry hunt very fun.
Yeah, again, boring. I chose the same one. I've actually used this pad specifically for 3 years. I have tried some others in that time. I've actually had more failures with anything else I've tried in that time. So the Tensor is something that, again, I've used it for 3 years now, never had an issue. It's a really good balance of being lightweight, but at the same time, durable. It's not a pad I feel like I'd have to totally baby or worry about, unlike some of the other pads I've had. As you mentioned, Steve, it's warm. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to spending $100 on a sleeping pad and something that's going to last you for years and keep you warm and is comfortable, yeah, the valve's, you know, a pain. It's not a quick deflate valve, but I've dealt with it. Yeah, $100, solid choice. I think in general, you're going to spend anywhere from $70-ish to maybe a little over $100 on a sleeping pad. I would be weary of going too light or too cheap on a pad, you know, unless it's a pad that has really good reviews and you just find a deal on it. But there's a sleeping pad is definitely one of those areas where I've learned by experience, if you try and go too light or too cheap, sometimes it doesn't work out too well in the long run. So
yeah, it's just the one area you don't want to mess with too much. I'd stick with, I mean, of the ones I've used, obviously Therm-a-Rest, their Neo Air line is phenomenal, but they're going to be, I think, like $180 to $200-something, depending on which one you get. Sea to Summit Comfort Plus, super heavy, but like hands down the warmest, most comfortable pad I've ever slept on. Nemo makes a great one. Big Agnes can be pretty hit and miss. You could definitely probably find some Big Agnes pads for sale on the cheap. I've just had pretty 50-50 results with some of their pads, especially in relation to their R value that they claim and what I actually experience sleeping on. Yeah, I think if you kind of stick with those bigger brands and spend at least $100, you know, you're probably going to be just fine.
Cool. Stove is another big one. Oh, before we move on to stove. So we talked shelter, sleeping bag, sleeping pad. So this is essentially your sleep system. I think a good ballpark to shoot for, in terms of weight, is keeping this under 5 pounds. And I actually broke that rule. Mine comes out to about 5.2, 5.3. And the main reason for that is, again, the traditional sleeping bag that I chose, and with it being only 650 fill. But I would be careful if you're choosing these three items and you're much over 5 pounds, I'd think about that. I mean,
yeah,
you can definitely optimize that and still be on a budget list and still be comfortable. Again, if I didn't have the kind of the self-imposed constraint of choosing that traditional sleeping bag and like went with a quilt or something like that, like that's almost a pound right there. You know, so you, Steve, you're right at 4.1 pounds. I'm at 5.3. That shows you right there that in those differences in your sleep system can change your pack weight, begin to change your pack weight quite a bit. You know, when you're talking over a pound, if you can save that pound and not give up comfort and still be on a budget gear list, see if your gear is actually cheaper than mine and lighter. Think about that. So if you're at or over 5 pounds, I'd maybe think about those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be the benchmark. If you're much over that, I'd you know, revise and find some new options, because there's no reason to be. You're going to be just as comfortable.
Yeah, there's too many other good options.
And a sub-5 pound options, yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, if you're new to this, and you can start looking at, if you start looking at quote-unquote backpacking tents on some of the bigger sites like REI or Backcountry or whatever, it's interesting that there's still backpacking tents that weigh almost 5 pounds for just the tent.
Remember, my first legit tent was a Marmot EOS. I think you bought it from me, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the EOS. What was it? I bought it and used it for quite a few years. Actually, yeah. I still have it.
Do you really?
I do. Because I car camp with it with my kids.
Oh, nice. That's a good tent.
It is a good tent. It's solid.
I remember, you know, that was 10, 11, 12 years ago. And that thing was like, I was happy that my tent was under 5 pounds. Right. But it, you know, you had to have a 2-man tent, had to be freestanding, had to be, this and that. And yeah, I remember, you know, now I'm, you know, I think I'm sub 4 with my complete pad bag and shelter. And I just remember being jacked that thing was like, you know, it was like a 4-pound, 15-ounce trail weight or something like that.
Yeah, things have definitely changed since I bought that from you for like $100 yeah. bucks years ago. Yeah, I still have it.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Yeah, so sleep system, again, shelter, sleeping bag, sleeping pad, try to keep it under 5 pounds. You can do all of that for less than $500 as well. Easy. Yeah, so under $500, under 5 pounds, that would be a benchmark to look at for sure. Stove, got to cook, got to eat. You don't have to cook, but you're going to want to cook. Like, you can do the stoveless thing and talk about
pointless.
It, but yeah, it's pointless. Yeah. A warm meal is invaluable. Coffee is invaluable. So you're going to backpack, you're going to be out there for a few days, need a stove. What do you pick, Steve?
Yeah, there's no surprise here. Jetboil. They've got their Flash series. I think it's been around forever. Probably a great example of, one that you could find super, super cheap. When I Googled it at the time, I think I found one on sale for $65. It's going to do everything you need. You know, it's only going to be a few ounces heavier than the lighter weight options. You know, super fuel efficient, just, yeah, great choice. I would definitely, I think you could, if you wanted to go super dirt cheap, you could, you know, like when we did our stove review podcast quite a few episodes ago, we did some cheaper, just like screw on typical kind of canister things with a pot. I think you maybe save, you know, $20, but just not worth it in my opinion. So hard to beat that Flash for the size, the weight, the price, you know, everything.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I started just Googling around and found that same deal. I think it was actually like promoted through Google. So it was one of the first results and I ended up finding the same thing. Again, Jetboil is just one of those things. It works and it keeps working. There's plenty of other good options out there. But if we're talking budget gear list and trying to hit this price point and you can get a Jetboil for $65, it's kind of a no brainer. Again, if you just want to hear more about stoves in general, back in episode 90, we did a big stove comparison. So we had a Jetboil and an MSR and some, you know, some of the other canisters type stoves. You can definitely piece together a cheaper system. I've been seeing guys more and more, there's generic, like Chinese little backpacking stoves, or just the stove element itself is like $12. Mm-hmm. On Amazon, and you throw that on a Jetboil style canister, and then you basically just pick up your own pot. So, I mean, you can build a system for $30-$40. In the end, your weight's going to be pretty dang equivalent. It's not going to be as fuel efficient. It's not going to be as quick. I don't know if it's going to be as reliable. And you might save $20. So think about that. Like, is it worth it?
To me, the fuel efficient part is the big keyword there. Like, any, you know, I know a Jetboil is going to last a long time on a small fuel canister, and it's going to last you easily through a 5-6 day hunt. And you know, if you got some cheaper stove that just burns through the fuel, all of a sudden you got to throw a whole extra fuel canister in there. That just starts adding weights, bulk, and cost to your pack every time.
Yep. So yeah, it's pretty simple there. But again, shoot for spending $50 to $75, something like that. You should be somewhere around a pound ish, plus or minus a couple ounces, on a stove. And yeah, there you go. Again, that was episode 90. If you guys want to dive into that big comparison, we did quite a while ago. Next up, water filtration. So you got to get some clean water into that stove to cook. You got to get some clean water, you know, into your bottle or your bladder, whatever you're using to drink on this multi-day hunt. Again, pretty boring, Steve. We chose the same thing. We've probably already talked about this a lot on the podcast, but go ahead, enlighten us.
Yes, the Sawyer squeeze filter. They're freaking cheap. They're $35. If you hunt a ton, I mean, if you spent 30 to 40 days out in the field, you'd buy a new one every year, but big deal, it's $30-something. If you're Mark here and you live in Missouri and you're just making it out to Colorado for a 1-week hunt, the thing's going to last you 4 years, 5 years. So yeah, it's awesome. This isn't a, this just happens to be a great product that's freaking cheap. This isn't a budget decision by any means. It's exactly what you and I use. They're just awesome. There's no downside to them. The, I think we mentioned it before, the only potential issue is if you leave water in it and it gets, you know, below freezing that night, the inside elements can freeze. It's really simple, and you're just going to want to do this anyways. When you're done filtering, you just shake out the water. And then, like I said, if I know it's going to be really cold, I just make sure it's like in my tent with me. Sometimes I'll even put it like inside my bivy sack, and just don't leave it like leaning up against a tree 10 feet away from your tent at night, and it's going to get below freezing because it could crack, and then you wouldn't know it cracked either. So potentially could be an issue for you, but just take care of it and it'll take care of you. I guess the only other note is just make sure at the end of every hunt, get home and just back flush it. They send you a little syringe in the bottle. Fill that with clean water. You run it basically reverse through the system, cleans out any of the kind of big debris, and you'll get a longer life out of it. I guess I'm rambling here, but another note on that filter is just make sure if you can that you're filtering super clean water, because they will clog faster. If you've got water that's just like, you know, brown before you're filtering it, a lot of sand in there, mud, whatever, that'll clog faster. So just pay attention to when you're filling up your dirty bag of water to filter that it's as clean as possible. So I haven't done this yet, but I've toyed around the idea of like packing coffee filters or something like that to almost be like a pre-filter going into the dirty bag, because I think you'd get a lot longer life out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen guys do that with like a bandana or, you know, a rag or something of that sort. If there's floaties in the water, at least visible stuff, definitely an option. I tried, man. I was like, I'm not going to pick the Sawyer. I'm going to find another option. I want to give people options. And so I started shopping. I gave up and I came back and put a Sawyer on my list. Like you said, Steve, not picking the Sawyer because it is a budget item, because it is what we use. But especially if you are picking a budget item, it just makes sense. Like, you're going to spend more on a pump and it's going to be heavier. You're going to spend more on a UV filter, and then you have batteries and complications. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. No brainer. Yeah. Buy a Sawyer.
No brainer. Yeah. And I said, I tested the Aquamera version of it this year. Had pretty mixed results at the end of the, you know, I just was stubborn and stuck with it the whole year. And at the end of it, I was like, definitely like, okay, I'm going back to my Sawyer. So, oh, keep looking. You know, someone's going to come along with the next evolution, whether it's Sawyer's got a 2.0 version of it or someone else is going to come out with something that's better. But as it is right now, for the price, performance, weight, it's impossible to beat.
I will mention, we've mentioned this on the podcast as well, but we also get questions about it quite a bit. You and I, Steve, both use a quick disconnect system. And so basically you splice your drinking tube, your hydration tube, you put in these connections from the quick disconnect kit, and now you can connect your filter straight to your bladder. And so you actually filter clean water into your bladder without removing your bladder from the pack. That's also from Sawyer. It does work with most bladders. So if you have a Camelback or a Platypus or whatever, it's going to work with most of those tubes. I think it's 12-ish bucks. It's sold separately from the squeeze. I think it's just called the Fast Fill Hydration Adapter or something like that. But if you search Sawyer Quick Disconnect, you'll find it. So that'd be another good add-on. I think it's 12-ish bucks, something like that. But it's definitely very convenient.
Yeah, 100% recommend that. It saves you having to pull your bladder out of the pack every time. Definitely worth its weight.
Headlamp. We covered headlamps quite a bit back when we did the backpacking stove review. We also did a big headlamp comparison and review, which was a lot of fun. That was episode 89.
Yeah, we should probably do version 2.0 of that. There's some new headlamps that have come out, and yeah. I think even in the last couple of years, performances, battery life's getting longer, lights are getting brighter. We should. In fact, I just got that BioLite headlamp that it's come out this year. It's super intriguing that I got one from them direct at the Outdoor Retailer Show, but it was faulty. It didn't work below something in their wiring. It didn't work below 32 degrees. Like, there was like the shut off in the thing, in the wiring that like preserved the battery or something like that. So basically all of hunting season, whenever I pack it, it wouldn't work, but I guess that was just a wire prototype programming thing. Yeah. So they just sent me the finalized version of it. I'm going to give it a test. It's got some serious upside. The serious downside is it's a super high efficient battery built into it, but it's not replaceable. So you're stuck with recharging.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pack a battery pack doing that anyways with all the other electronic devices. So maybe it's not the end of the world, but it'd be fun to revisit that.
Yeah, for sure. So back in that review, we looked at Black Diamond Spot, a Petzl Tactica, a Coast. It was the FL75R, which is rechargeable, a Black Diamond Revolt, and a Princeton Tech Sync. So again, there's a bajillion models from a bunch of brands, but in general, Black Diamond, Petzl, Coast, Princeton Tech, like those are definitely some of the bigger names and good hitters and all good headlamps. And there's a lot of pros and cons, but you're buying, Steve, you're on this budget list. What are you picking?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the list here and somehow you found a Black Diamond Spot for $28.
Bingo.
but when we did that review, the Coast was, from a performance standpoint, was the best. It was the brightest headlamp. It had the longest battery life, which those two going hand in hand didn't make any sense to us, but we both had the same results. And it's awesome. We sell them on my SNS Archery website. I can't justifiably tell people to buy it there because for whatever reason, Coast decides to sell to Costco, and you get like a 2-pack or a 3-pack of these things for, it's like $35. I mean, it's unbelievably cheap. Every time I see them there, I just like shake my head. But yeah, if you have Costco membership and you stumble across it, they're a freaking great headlamp, and especially for that price. And yeah, it performs well. The only downside to that headlamp that we've found was there was no locking feature. So when you wake up in the morning and you go to throw your headlamp, you know, once it's light outside, you go throw the headlamp in your pack, you got to take the 10 seconds to pop the battery case off and flip a battery around or take a battery out so that it doesn't accidentally turn on in the pack all day long, which that would be a killer if it happened to you. So phenomenal headlamp for the price. I don't think it's the rechargeable version. It's just the regular, use 3 AAAs. Great, great choice.
Yeah, definitely a great headlamp. I would have picked it for sure, and I'd still use one, but I have had the drain happen to me. It did come on. I forgot to flip the batteries, and I don't know. That puts a sour taste in my mouth. That's not a Coast thing. There's quite a few lamps that don't have a locking feature, so again, just be aware of that. But ultimately, I did find a really good sale on a Black Diamond Spot for $28. I've had Black Diamond headlamps in one form or the other for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years at least, well before we did the review and everything a couple years ago. And I just keep coming back to them. They just flat out work. They do have a lock. Their newer ones are rechargeable. They also take AAAs, so if you don't want to recharge it and just want spare batteries or want to use conventional batteries, you can definitely do that. They're bright. They have a ton of great features. The downside, and we talked about this on the podcast as well when we talked about the headlamps, is the Black Diamond is a great headlamp. It can do a lot of things. It has a button. So it has like 6 or 7 functions, but it has a single button. And so there's a learning curve to it. There's kind of like a high beam and low beam in white, and then you have a red light, and then you have the lock, and then you have a strobe mode. And so you can change these functions and go into different modes, but with there only being one button, you kind of have to remember, do I double tap the button or do I hold it for 3 seconds or, you know, and then you just, yeah, it can get confusing at first. At the same time, if you've been using one for a while, like I have, it just becomes second nature, and you forget maybe how big of a pain it might be up front because you just get used to it. That's literally the only downside I found to using something like a Black Diamond Spot.
Yeah, all right. 1,000% agree.
All right, footwear, Steve. So we talked sleep system, stove, water, headlamp. And again, a lot of guys might have a headlamp, but maybe maybe you just do whitetail hunt and you still carry a flashlight, or maybe you don't have a headlamp. So definitely if you're going on a backcountry hunt, you're going to use the crap out of a headlamp. You have to have a decent one. So last one would be boots. So again, as you mentioned, Steve, if a guy has, you know, basically tree stand hunts, right? Like maybe he's wearing some lacrosse rubber boots or something like that and doesn't have actual need to hike through the mountain boots. Tell us your pick, Steve, but go ahead and tell us why nobody else is going to do this.
What are you talking about? No, so my personal choice, a shoe I've been wearing for 4 or 5, I don't know how many years, the Salomon X Ultra Mid and the Gore-Tex version. Phenomenal boot, extremely comfortable. I shouldn't call it boot. It's a hiking shoe, basically. Not a low top running shoe, but a hiking trail shoe. You can find them on sale for right around $100. You know, if you give it some time, do some Google searches, just a great shoe. The Gore-Tex is the only issue. I've had mixed results on it. So I guess I wouldn't pick this if I was doing some October stuff, but September, and you know, you're not going to be dealing with like 2 feet of snow. Phenomenal choice. No blisters, and it's done a few death hikes with me with no issues. I have nothing to complain about. So, again, budget choice, but it's my personal choice. $100 gets you into a shoe that's going to be comfortable, and you can definitely go do a Western backcountry hunt with.
And will you? That's the question. Yeah, I always give Steve trouble because so he wears the X Ultras, and again, they're basically a shoe that's a mid, right? Like it's not a boot. And most guys are going to choose a boot. And I think, I think that's okay for sure, especially once you know. So Steve, you know, you've been wearing these for years. You've tested them a lot, but I just think for a lot of guys, if they're new to backcountry hunting, if they're going to be hiking in the mountains, maybe for the first time, that it's not a wise choice to run with an X Ultra.
I don't know. I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
I think it might work. I just think, number one, most people aren't going to try it. And number two, you don't necessarily try. So go ahead and try it if you want. But I think a lot of guys are going to be hesitant to try something that light at first.
I'd agree. People would be hesitant, but you got to break the mold. And trying to do it for years. Stop freaking wearing a 10-pound leather boot that just does nothing but sweat and cause blisters for you.
All right, we better move on before Steve gets riled up. So I chose a more sensible option. Not really. I chose the Salomon Quest 4D, which is a boot. It's not the 10-pound leather boot that Steve hates. But it's more, I would say it's for a boot, it's still a relatively light boot, but it is a boot. Like Steve, I have a ton of experience with these, from everything from the hunting to death hikes and all that good stuff. Definitely proven, definitely not perfect. Just like your choice, Steve, of the X Ultra, the Gore-Tex is something that isn't perfect, in the Quest 4Ds either. So if you do, if you are considering a lighter boot, and I do agree with you, Steve, you don't need the 4-pound mountain boot. Most guys don't. Some guys do. But these are a good choice. I found them on sale for $175. A lot of times you can get them any day, every day, almost anywhere for, I think, about $220-ish. But again, if you're smart, if you're patient, you can find them for $175, or, you know, maybe wait till that REI 25% off coupon, you know, use it there. And then you have that good trial period with them. So just a great boot. So boots in general, I think, Steve, at $100, you're definitely on the super, super cheap end. I think it's more typical to spend $200-ish. Again, maybe $175, like I found on sale, maybe $225 if you're just kind of, you got to buy boots now and you got to pay full price. Obviously, the full leather boots, you're going to be much heavier, you know, much more expensive. If you're, even with a Quest 4D, something like a Quest 4D, if you're the guy who's coming out west once a year, these suckers will last you many years. If you're a guy that's hunting 40 days a year, you might get the year out of them. Like, they're not going to last forever, but again, a lot of you guys are doing the one hunt a year. They're going to last you quite a few good years. So it's definitely a good, again, a good budget choice. Not the cheapest option out there, but definitely worth it for the price, and also what I use personally. So yeah, what other thoughts do you have on this, Steve? I mean, we're not hitting everything as we discussed. There's definitely some other big ticket items in the picture if you're going to do your first Western hunt or backcountry hunt. I mean, you got license and tag, and you got a pack, and you got clothing, and you got weapon. You got travel, you got lodging, you got meat care if you get into all that. So we fully know that by saying, you know, Steve, your list came out to 715, essentially. Mine was closer to 8. We're not saying you can do the hunt for $800, but we are saying if you're a whitetail hunter or something to that effect and you want to go out west, and especially if you want to do it more than once, investing in a gear list like this for $700 to $800 is going to last you for quite a few years and can enable you to do this well, which I think is, when you look at it like that, I mean, $800 is $800, but if you can get 4 years of use out of this stuff, more for a lot of it, it's a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I, when we were talking about doing this episode in advance, was it's just getting the point across that, like, I think guys, especially with social media, whatever, like, people get too caught up in the gear, you know, research and think they have to have the best of the best of everything. And the whole point of this is all really good gear. It's going to perform well. It's going to take care of you. And you don't have to have the most expensive, latest and greatest item, right? You know, fortunately for Exo, we always, packs and boots are the two things, like, okay, those are the ones that you really don't want to skip around with. But all this other stuff, there's a lot of great choices out there. And you can definitely get by. I mean, we just encourage anyone and everyone just to start. Maybe, you know, maybe you don't even have, you know, the stuff that's of this quality. It's just hand me down, or you're going to borrow something, but just get started on it. If you've been dreaming about doing a, you know, a backcountry elk hunt, man, just, it doesn't have to be thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and this big giant barrier in front of you to make it happen. There's good options out there for gear that's going to perform well for you, and just make it happen. And then, you know, as all of us have done, you just kind of upgrade your gear over time. You're going to, maybe you buy this Lunar Solo tent and use it for 3-4 years and decide that, you know, there's something you don't like, and at that point you upgrade it, and then 2 years later you upgrade your sleeping bag or whatever. I mean, just get started.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we set out to make this budget gear list, and it really just dawned on me looking it back at this. Every single thing in my list on this budget list, but one, is something I use to this day.
Yeah. I mean, it's budget, but it's not cheap gear, I guess, is the best way to say that.
No, it's not cheap. Yeah. But I think it's, yeah, I just, it shouldn't be as intimidating maybe as it is.
Yeah.
And not only do I use all these items, but one to this day, all of those items I've been using for multiple years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, again, this isn't cheap stuff, but don't think you have to drop thousands of dollars just in backpacking gear or just in backcountry gear to get started. Again, if you're starting from scratch, you're a brand new hunter, you don't have a weapon, you don't have anything, yeah, you're going to need to spend probably a couple grand total to, like, do a backcountry hunt. But again, you can spread that out. You don't have to start with a backpacking hunt. Yada, yada, yada. But yeah, it's interesting. It'd be curious to hear you guys' feedback on this one or any other suggestions you have. We'd definitely let us know. We could share some of those suggestions with other guys. And yeah, hopefully this helps to kind of break down, you know, shop smart. You don't have to spend the highest dollar everything. Hopefully things like that shelter and sleep system rule, you want all that to be under 5 pounds. Under $500 is doable for sure. Yeah, so hopefully that's some helpful stuff for you guys to get out there and make it happen. Steve, your total list came out to essentially right under 6 pounds. It was like closer to 5.5 pounds. And then my list came out to about 7 pounds. So again, just ballpark, those are some things to consider. It's one of those things, just don't get caught up in, like you said, Steve, having the greatest everything. Shop smart, take your time, upgrade as you can, and more importantly, it's about the experience, not the stuff.
Yeah, that's the point. Don't let the gear stop you from going out and having an amazing experience. Just, you know, you might suffer a little bit more than the guy with the latest and greatest gear, but big deal, you know, go have fun, enjoy it, and then just upgrade as time allows and money allows.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned too, because I, I love geeking out on gear, but at the same time, I also do that a lot less these days, simply because not only can you spend a lot of time, you can spend a lot of like effort and energy into comparing like, oh, I could save like 0.2 ounces if I do this and yada, yada, yada. And so at some point, I think it's okay to be like that up front, especially once you get a dialed system. But again, once you have a dialed system, man, you don't have to spend time or money or energy thinking about this stuff. You just continue to use what works, and then you're free to focus more on a lot of other stuff, which is good.
Some the stuff that matters, like becoming a better hunter.
Yeah, the stuff that actually helped to kill something. That's where I need to focus anyway.
Yeah.
I slept great last night, but I didn't kill crap.
I was super warm on my hunt, but I just didn't kill anything.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Guys, if you have some budget tip, something like that, let us know. Maybe it's something we'll share in a future episode. Tune in next week. We'll have more great shows coming. Don't forget the giveaways. So the January giveaway is wrapping up. February, we're launching a new one with Black Gold Sights. You'll hear more about that next week.